Okay, I'd like to open up the special annual board planning session for the Board of Directors.
Roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect. All members are present.
Right. I'd say it's open now to public comments, assuming that that's anybody other than the board members. Is there anybody that has any comments? Seeing none, we'll close that. And on to C1, review of mission, vision, and values, staff direct.
Okay, good afternoon, board. Welcome to the 2019 board workshop. Thank you for your call. Today's agenda, we're going to take you through the review of the mission, vision, goals, and values. Maestro. 2018, looking back, a year of review. 2019, some key issues and things that we're going to be involved with this year. And we're going to look at the end, taking your suggestions and requests. I'm not going to read every slide to you. I prefer to put the slide up there. You have it in Aqua Focus down here in your handout. And what we'll do is we'll go through the slides. I'll give you time to kind of look at it and then ask before we change the slide if there's any board member questions. And that way we'll move through the material fairly quickly, only hitting on the things that seem most pertinent. So, next slide, Maestro. Okay. So, please take a look at our current mission, values, goals, statement, and see if there's, staff has no suggested changes. So if you do, we would like to hear from you.
Is this the same group that, did we change it all from last year?
No. Anybody need more time or have any issues? Okay, then we'll go on to the next slide. This is where we're going to start to take a look at some of the amazing things staff has done through the year, and we broke it down by quarter. So as you look through these bullet points, if any of these you have any questions about, we'll be happy to answer. These are the things, these by bullet points, that we were engaged in January through March. Most of them will look familiar. Not seeing any questions. We'll move on to the next slide. Not seeing any questions, we'll move on to the next slide. Okay, not seeing any questions, we'll move on to the next slide. Comment on bullet point number one. I want to highlight this. Staff at the last year's audit was within $1 of the auditor's final count. It's pretty amazing.
They did a fantastic job, staff.
And of course, the last one here seems like only yesterday.
Mike, can I ask what the Ravenswood Assessment Engineering Park was?
Okay, so what happens is Ravenswood is our Zone 9, so we have 8 and 9 is us, the rest of the zones are county. So Ravenswood actually has an assessment that they pay in addition to their taxes, and that assessment goes to us. Well, each year there has to be an engineering analysis to determine whether or not those funds should be raised, in order to provide proper park maintenance. And so each year we'll have an engineering report. I will say that fortunately the funding in Zone 9 is good, and we haven't had to raise the funds in quite a while, I think.
We did not raise them last year.
Yeah, we didn't raise them last year. Good question. Thank you. Not seeing any other questions, we'll move to the next slide. Now in the, of course, the second quarter. Questions coming down the next slide. Next slide. Highlight the last bullet point. We were really ahead of the curve here. I'm working on our website and ADA compliance, and there's actually a new law that was passed that says that every special district has to have a website up and running. And not only was ours, of course, up and running for quite a while, we made it ADA compliant. So we were way ahead of the curve on there.
Question, how do you make a website ADA
compliant? Carol.
You put titles on documents that are attached. That's one way. You make them
searchable records. You make them capable of audible interpretation from text. And so how you input the data can be retrieved from people with hearing disability, sight disability.
Text
to audio. You would hit a button. It's kind of like in your car. Do you ever get a text message and it says you want to hear the audio version of your text message? And it'll come back and it'll use a bot voice and read it. That's essentially what they're talking about.
Okay.
They have a certain machine that they can use to do that. Right. The person is vision impaired.
Okay, next slide. We'll have a little something more on these as we look for things still in progress. Okay, seeing no questions, next slide, please.
Trademark issues. So the last time we brought the trademark issue to you guys was when we received board authorization to move forward with a search and to determine whether or not Live Where You Play is a trademarkable statement, if it was able to be pushed through the PTO.
Yeah.
So we did the initial search, and what our IP guys, so that's intellectual property over at our office, what our IP guy said is that lots of people are using it. And I have some examples here of different people that have been using the Live Where You Play. There's somebody that's selling products on Amazon that has Live Where You Play and Discovery Bay. There's Yountville is using Live Where You Play. And some other places in North Carolina are using Live Where You Play. So what that means is Live Where You Play is in order to trademark something, you have to show that you have exclusive use of it.
Yeah.
And trademark being that it's throughout the United States, so you would have to prove that you use that, it's unique to what you do. And we looked and he said, we can make an application. It's going to cost a couple $1,000 by the time we make the application. It's probably not going to, it's probably going to get kicked back by PTO. If I'm finding stuff in organic Google searches, we didn't even enter it into. We have a trademark search, so that's a little bit more of a deeper dive and it'll go into the databases that the PTO uses. We didn't even do that. And those searches, we cost us a couple hundred dollars to do. But if we're catching things on natural Google searches, it's an uphill battle taking it to the PTO.
Okay.
So we kind of just we kind of abandoned it, and that's on us. So that we never brought that back. But that's where that trademark issue.
So in other words, it's so much in the public domain now that we can't claim an exclusivity to it.
No is not the right answer to that. You probably could, but it's cost you a lot of money, and what's the benefit to the town of doing that? And if there is a benefit to the town, we can pursue it. It's just our thought was that, and I don't know where it fell off, but was that we don't advise pursuing that, being that the town is a water and wastewater provider. The exclusive use would be more positioned for like a developer to bring to sell real estate rather than. And then if we even thought of a licensing agreement to license it to developers, that's really outside the jurisdiction of what the town kind of does.
Okay.
So
there is no restrictions on our use of it. Is that correct?
No, it can be used. Anybody can use it. To our knowledge, we found no patents, and people are using it. And until somebody shows up with showing that they have first and right and an enforceable property right in it, then you can use it all day long.
But none of those examples are live where you play in Discovery Bank. They're just live where you play.
This one's live where you play in Discovery Bank.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. These are, somebody's making phone cases, playing cards, posters, selling them on Amazon. Getting into the nuance of things, if it's a general or broad statement, like live where you play is, it doesn't really describe the town.
What Discovery Bank are talking about?
It's California. Yeah, because they have another one on here that's a picture of a woman on a boat that says Discovery Bay, California.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so here's the boat.
Hmm.
So with the consensus of the board, we're done.
We're done.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we're done, Andy. And my apologies for not bringing that back.
Okay.
Okay, not seeing any questions. Next slide, please. Looking forward. Now here we are, right? Looking forward. Next slide, please. All right, so one of the things that we wanted to bring to your attention is some proposed organizational changes that we would like to see occur. How this happens is actually through approval of the budget. So as we wind our way through the budgeting process and through the finance committee and eventually to the board, this is a staff recommendation so that we have some idea of how to prepare the budget for you, is we would like to create two new positions. One of the positions would be an assistant general manager. That position would be underneath me and provide assistance to me in many of the projects that we have. One of the challenges for me as the general manager here is I went from a plate to a platter, and in some of the items get pushed off the plate because new things come in. And I think by having an assistant general manager,
we'll be able to have someone that can focus in on these things and take up some of the slack and keep some attention to some of the projects that have been pushed aside. And a perfect example of one example of that is as we've been, since the day I got here, I wanted to improve security at our facilities. It's just something that keeps getting pushed aside because other things push it away. So we have that. And then the other is a projects manager. And this is a part-time, regular part-time position that would be held by a licensed engineer. And the purpose of this is to provide expertise and coordination at a variety of special projects that would be assigned by the general manager for this person to work on. And this typical duties that this person would have would be from design to completion of the project, turning it on, working with engineering, operations, contractors, consultants, etc., and keeping the interests of Discovery Bay in totality of those things, rather than just looking at it from one perspective of those disciplines. And that would have that kind of expertise. This person I'm looking at is to write CEQA documents, RFPs, have experience in reviewing plans, working with various outside agencies, etc., that kind of expertise that we're lacking at, and to be able to do that with pinpoint accuracy, just focusing their attention on those activities, we could do it part-time, and it would be a great benefit to the town. So those are the two things that we're suggesting. The other is, as we all know, Virgil is leaving, and we are going to move into Virgil's spot our water technician 2, and we're going to eliminate the water technician 2's spot. So as though we're gaining 1.5 positions, and we're eliminating 1 full position. So, any comments about that?
I think that it makes sense. So, again, my only concern would be the financing side of it, as long as the budget can, you know, be able to function and not draw some negative position by adding those spots. That I have no problem.
Well, I can tell you that staff has looked into it. We feel confident that we're really. That it's very affordable for what we're getting, and we can't afford it. Not only is it affordable, we can't afford it. We've looked through the numbers, and those numbers will also be gone over again with, you know, at budgeting time.
But it would take us through the current rate study, and current rates have positions available, all the funding available to make those positions, and the next rate study will take those positions into consideration.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Any additional questions? All right. Next slide, please. I'm going to turn this over to our finance director.
Okay. So this next fiscal year, we would like to roll out the water utility application, and we are also going to be rolling out a landlord service agreement. And so one of our difficulties in somebody calling in and just asking for water service is after they disappear, we can't find them again. And so this, I hope, will help streamline that process, enable us to be able to locate them, follow them, and, you know, lean their properties if we need to. So we're going to roll this out possibly in, I'm thinking, 7 phases. I don't want to overwhelm data entry staff. So that's our plan right now. And it'll be similar to the water meter project where we have a phase 1. We send those out and we receive them back in, data enter them all in. We do have our system, Cassell, where we can scan these documents into right into the account. So you look at their account, you could look under the customer, and those documents are all scanned in and saved. So we'll be able to do that. So that's our plan.
So the purpose here is that when the renter skips out on the water bill, the landlord is held responsible.
That is correct, yes.
Which is a fairly typical industry standard.
Yes. Yeah.
Also correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this will also track an issue that I spotted when I first came here, is that anything that goes on the tax roll, if I start out and I buy a brand new home here, I'm not paying even now the account charge that appears on my tax bill until it's registered on the tax bill the next go around, and I get all this free service. So this will help us. Until it goes on the tax bill, we're going to charge them the account charge.
We are. Right now we are prorating. So we prorate their account charge and their, you know, anything else that we need to. So when they move into a home. So if they buy a home after the tax roll has been submitted, if they buy a home after that period, we're putting their sewer and their account charge prorated on that water utility bill, and then it falls off, just the sewer falls off in July 1, and the account charge as well. So, yeah. So, so we're working, we've created these documents. I'm gonna look at them one more time. We're gonna send them back to legal. Andy's been working with us on this. He's gonna put his stamp of approval, and then we'll start our plan.
How do you go about finding the renter side of that? I understand the new home issue.
Right.
But.
So you can't see, I didn't post the entire document, but it does say, are you a renter? And so hopefully they'll check that box. If they say that they're a renter, well then, okay, they have to give us the landlord information. And then we'll forward on this agreement and the landlord agreement to the
Wouldn't
landlord.
Do we have the ownership already through the county?
We do have that. Sometimes they're companies, and so to find that contact information is sometimes a little bit difficult, but.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing you say that if you want to send this application to every home in Discovery Bay.
Yes, this is an application for water service, to actually have water service to your house.
But if we already have water service at the home.
Right, we do. But we don't have an application process. Other cities and districts have an application process. So right now, somebody's just calling in, I'm Joe Schmo, just hook me up with water, please. And we're putting in, okay, here's your name. Can you give me your phone number? That'd be great. They could be giving us who knows what information.
I think the question is, are we sending this out to existing?
Yes, we are. We're sending them out to existing, yes. We want everybody in the system to have a water application filled out.
Why?
Well.
How would you know who the renters are unless you ask? All you have
that is
a,
true.
All you have is a name and an
That's
address,
right.
And you send them a bill.
Well,
you don't know whether they're a renter, they're an owner, they're a squatter. You have no idea.
I do not have any idea.
Well, I think you know that if you just compare the tax roll by address with the name of the that we're sending the invoice to, that address.
The APN listing? Yeah. So
assuming it's registered individual, not a, you know, LLC. Or
so right now, say on DB West, I own my home, I'm the owner. Next door could be a renter.
Right.
So that person just called in and they just have water service. I can look up the APN listing, but I mean,
I'm
I guess we're trying
I'm
to conform with what other agencies do. Mm-hmm. And
staff will look into this a little
well,
more to determine. Not we're talking about new water service for sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
The issue becomes about the existing thing, and I think we need to have a further conversation on that. And we'll report
because
that.
It seems like there's a lot of effort going to be put into it, where we're only going to. I don't know how many people skip on paying the water bill. Renters mostly, but a lot of effort by staff to get information we may not ever need because the homeowner's paying the water bill.
Well, I see. What if they refuse to send it in? How much effort is staff going to spend trying to get the darn application
exactly.
back from them? So, well, we're going to ferret out a little bit more.
The concept
and we'll report
is great.
Back
I
to you.
I
so,
trying to find it's fine, but anyway.
So Andy, I have a question. If I'm a homeowner and I'm renting out my house, who am I ultimately responsible for bills that are incurred in that house? Am I responsible to the town of Discovery Bay for the water bill? I don't care who's in the house or who's been paying for it. If they skip on it, aren't I ultimately responsible because I own the house and you've been providing water to my... I didn't sign an agreement or anything because I'm not living there. How does that work?
So that's what I think Dean is trying to fix. So your ordinance says that, yes, the landowners are responsible for the water service charges to
the
house.
So then if somebody skips out... And they don't pay the bill, the owner rents to the next person. We don't turn the water on to the next person until they pay the bill that they already own.
Correct.
The landlord's going to have to pay the bill for the tenant because they own the house. It's a risk they take for being a landlord. It's part of the cost of doing business. And we just wouldn't turn the water on to that address again. That's just hypothetical. So rent, I'm renting a house. I take off. The landlord's going to do some repairs to it or whatever. We turn the water off because the bill doesn't get paid for whatever the term is that we, where it gets to where our cutoff point is. And then the landlord gets done working on the house or whatever. Or he goes, oh, I understand the water's off because I don't have anybody in here. I'm not going to turn it on, so I rent it. He calls, the new renter comes in. He calls, says, I want to turn the water on. And we go, we can't turn the water on to your house because your landlord owes money on the bill. That money would get paid really quick, or the tenant or the guy would be without a renter.
And I would say yes. But what the application helps us do, in
that.
Fairness,
moving
is
forward.
To notify, and moving forward, is to notify the landlord, hey, this is occurring, so they don't have to have a renter come back and say, hey, they're not turning on.
I understand the process, and I think it's good. I do kind of understand what Bill's saying about going back to 6,500 homes that are already in the system, or 6,300 homes that are already in the system, and trying to reestablish that. I think... as you said, Mike, maybe you should look at that a little bit.
And
it may be a good thing. I get what he's saying.
No, I agree with you. It's pretty easy. We turn the water off. We don't turn it on until we get the money. I don't care who's in the house. Period.
Okay. And that's what we do with anybody else in town.
Yeah, the new application is perfect. That got to do that. But on existing, I think it's eliminated a lot of staff time and effort to maybe think through that a little bit. Just turn the water off. We get paid. Turn the bag on. Somebody's going to turn it. Somebody's going to pay for it.
And you're right, though, from the standpoint that you may go, after we're all in this room long gone, there will still be lots out here that don't have an application filed because nobody ever sold the property. Or no new person ever moved into the property. It may be that that's not a complete file from that perspective, but I think we need to figure out if we really need that complete stuff filed. We may not.
Next slide.
I am next slide. Okay, so then we're just going to kind of review our capital improvements. So these are capital improvement budget category enhancements. We're going to be, I'm off track, sorry. Our water have these main categories, and under these categories, we have all the projects underneath. So we have water supply capacity, distribution system, additional capital improvements, and system maintenance. So under these main categories, we have all the projects that we're going to be doing, and those will be coming to you within the budget. So, and same for wastewater, which is on the next slide. Their head categories are lift stations. I know in the next year we're going to be working on 4 or 5 more new lift stations, clarifier rehabilitations, water treatment plant, 1 refurbishment. We're going to have that on the capital improvement. Still some discussions about that. We're going to be moving forward. The distribution system and some capital improvements we need to do there, along with denitrification, which is our big project coming up, and mainline pipe repairs. Okay, thank you.
Next slide.
And then some of their other capital improvement projects, we're going to continue with our district security. We're still working on phase 1 right now, and then we'll move into phase 2. And I think Bernie and I had some discussions. That's how we're going to do it. It's phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and continue on that way. And so we'll bring those to you with the budget and what occurs in those phases. We do have some vehicle replacements that we're going to be doing in the next fiscal year, and some building rehabilitation. And mostly that's the island where Virgil is by Well 1. We're going to do some repairs to that building. Okay. Next slide, please.
Okay.
So now that we're gonna, now that Virgil's leaving, we're gonna fix this place.
Yeah, we'll fix it now.
Well, we meant to fix it, but it was on island time, so it just didn't get done.
Have you replaced the carpet while you still got the same cap? Yeah.
Yeah, it is since '98. That carpet's been there.
Wow. Okay. So some of the future items that we're looking at is, of course, the community center pool, the lighting and landscaping zone maintenance analysis, where are we at on that? The last where we left off on the consultants is that they were going to, we gave them the name of our contact at the county that Brian deals with, and they are supposedly going to get into a conversation about what if we were to acquire these and some other scenarios with them to see what their response is.
and willingness to cooperate with us on what we think is best in terms of designs.
Still waiting to hear back from them, hopefully soon. Discovery Bay Boulevard frontage, we did a refurbishment of the painting and the stucco work, where our next phase is to do the lighting and landscaping, and Brian will be working on that with an RFP to come out, correct, Brian?
Correct.
Cornell Park tennis court conversion to pickleball, when they come up with the money, we've agreed that we'll turn it into a pickleball court. So that is still in progress. The community center outdoor lighting front of building. As we all know, we need a coal miner's hat to get here at night, and this is something that we need to look into. I think once we actually look at what the cost of the pool's in, what direction we're going to go in with the pool, how much money is left in our community center funds, then we'll be able to take a realistic look at what kind of money we have to put adequate lighting out there. I can tell you, Brian is a ballpark thing. If we went out there and put cell lighting out there.
Solar.
Solar cell lighting out there. We're looking at about $9,000 or $10,000.
About $8,000 per light.
$8,000 per light, and we need about
12 lights.
Gets pretty expensive pretty quick. That's about $100,000 right there. Just the lighting. So, but this is on our radar screen. We mentioned at a prior meeting auditor rotation. We've been with our current existing auditors for 5 years now, and it has been mentioned that we should probably rotate those existing auditors out with, now there's two ways to do it. We'll be looking into making a recommendation in the future. One is to completely utilize a new firm, but it's also an acceptable practice to use different auditors within a same firm. So we'll be looking and bringing that back to the Finance Committee. With some options on that for the future. Service Club signage and plaque sign, where's it at?
Actually, I'm waiting for the new sign to be installed. And the thinking was is that the new electronic sign that would be installed, I think it was talked about last night at the board meeting, is that the post coming up is just attach the 2x8s onto the post there and put the different service signs on that. That was the thinking.
How many do we have?
Service signs? Right now, it depends on what organizations you count in that quantity. Because in the past, we have used church signs as well. And then besides Alliance and the Chamber, I'm not aware of a Kiwanis Club or some other organization. There's a SERS organization here in town.
Maybe 10.
Pardon me?
Maybe 10.
I don't even think that many, to be honest with you. I think maybe 6. We have developed a draft template as to the size of the sign. Because I didn't, for example, there's a lot of times egos obviously get involved, and one church sees a sign that, well, I want mine bigger, so mine's more pronounced than the other one. So we didn't want that.
Right.
Would it be, there's kind of been this thing going back and forth throughout the town, maybe not with us, but with other organizations in town, i.e. the state of the town and this and that, that it would this be just Discovery Bay, or would this be those that serve, like St. Anne's is not Discovery Bay, yet they serve Discovery Bay. There's an argument on both sides whether or not they're really in Discovery Bay. They're not in Discovery Bay. They're
correct. And I think it's going to really have to be what the Park Committee, Recreation Park Committee, come up with some of the guidelines.
Well, maybe the Communications Committee, you know.
Maybe both.
But there's a policy that will need to be established. But there's, I know that back four years ago, they were all up, they really wanted those service signs.
Correct.
And we told the Chamber and the Lions get together and come up with something, and it just died.
Yeah, well, they have come up with stuff, but the new electronic sign kind of really held them up. Because where was that going to be, and how can we? We didn't really want a lot of signs in that side of the road, so.
Could be electronic display.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad idea, actually. It's something to talk about with the committees, absolutely. I like that idea. Upgrade plant facilities, security, we mentioned that. That's
still on our forefront. And, well, hey, right now, Justin Ludorf is calling me, a water engineer, is looking at completing a modeling system to determine whether or not well H should act as an independent well site or as a well site that feeds into the Newport plant and ultimately filtered through the Willow Lake plant.
No. It would either be either or.
Be either or?
Either or, yeah.
Okay.
Typically, we really wanted it on the, I was going to say the east coast, but the west side of town, we really wanted it out there. Yeah.
So, yeah. If it was to occur at the Willow Lake location, we have some potential issues with the office at its present location, whether or not there'd be enough room to park and maneuver to get into the office. But that's where we're at. A lot of things to consider beyond this point, but this is where we're at. And then here's a big one. It's the cross-connection program that, I hope I don't screw this one up, but it's a program where the Department of Water wants us to create a program for ensuring that locations that have possible water supply that could be reintroduced into our water system have proper anti-flow valves on their property. And this would include properties that have pools or hot tubs or fish ponds or our water properties. And so this is a big deal. So we have Justin going and getting educated on it. We've been in contact with the Department of Water and we're working to develop something that we want as low impact on our community as possible, but effective. Anything to add on that by Bernie?
Is that?
I'm just trying to think about a pool. How, you got a pool full of water. Huh? How is it going to backflow into our freshwater system?
Go ahead. What happens is a lot of times you have an autofill unit on the pool,
right,
and maybe the autofill unit fails and water comes back. And highly unlikely could that come back to contaminate the water system. But just let's say, you know, we push out roughly 60 to 70 PSI. So we're putting pressure out of the plant, going all the way to the moment you turn on your faucet, water comes out. If that somehow or the other, that pressure dropped, it could literally cause a suction, cause the water from the pool, the pond, your deep water lot into the public system. Once it comes through your house and goes through the public system, we've contaminated the water system.
Right, but in the pool, if even you have the autofill, once the water level got down below the autofill, the water can come out.
That's correct, if it's there. But if we don't know that. So, but here's a possibility, but it's rare.
Yeah, the state says there's a potential, so they want you to put
correct
attention on.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And the other way it can introduce into your system is a garden hose off your spigot. If you don't have the anti-siphon valve, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
little backflow thing on your water spigot there. The hose, it could come back in through the hose under the same kind of conditions.
Yeah, it's only 50 feet of hose. I don't know if it'll get 2 gallons of water in it.
We're talking about the Department of Water.
Yeah.
It's one part from the building.
Yeah, right. Reason and ration doesn't necessarily enter into the.
You could actually be spraying pesticide, liquid pesticide, and that could be sucked back in, and that's what they're worried about, too.
And our system is a loop system, so it's all connected, and eventually work its way through.
And, Mike, that is a state mandated program?
Yes. Yes.
It's already in place.
Yes, and 10 years ago. I'm not being funny. They asked for it 10 years ago. It's falling off.
We're working on it.
That is what we've been telling them.
So you're saying that every resident has to have a backflow device then?
No. It's just the ones who, right now, that have ponds, pools, who have deep water lots, who may have a firm. But the deep water lots primarily would be the major ones because most folks have a hose bib running down to their dock. That hose bib or hose could fall in the delta. And again, if we had the situation where we drop lower than 20 PSI, it could suck that water back into the pump. public water system.
And one other potential category is fire sprinklers, home fire sprinklers.
That is another category, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, knowing more about this than I really want to, but it's a big deal.
Keep it on the list. We'll keep talking about it. We'll talk about it next
year. 4 years?
Another year.
Couple more years.
Next slide, please. Okay, so again, some future items. Once we get well 8 up and running, and of course, I invite staff here to correct me on any of this, please.
I just don't think that one would be done in 2019, to be honest with you.
Well, no, it's still on our plate. In 2019, we're still considering these future
items. Oh, future, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thanks. Title 22 denitrification by the end of 2022. And what we're on target and potentially looking at is the schedule is in July, starting the, we want to get the report in from Stantec, which we hope will be in June, and that's the master plan. Looking at the master plan should guide us on what kind of denitrification we should build. From there, we make a decision, go forth and build. Has to be designed and engineered first, so July to roughly August, September, we're thinking, is the design phase. Then RFP phase based on the design, hopefully by November. We've got some bids to come in and do it, and then starting construction so that it'll be completed at least 4 months in September of 2022.
So 2022, we're cutting it real close. It may look like a few years out, but I think what Greg had said was about a year and a half of the build. They wanted 6 months, 4 months, 6 months on the test minimum. So when you add it all up, we are really pushing to make this happen on time.
Yep. Diffuser repair, where are we at on that?
We're actually in the process of working with the various agencies, Army Corps and the state, because we leased that area, that river, where we put the diffuser in from the state. So we're notifying them, hey, do we have to go through a process of renewing the permit or whatever just to fix it? Which we don't believe we have to, but we need to, but we need to ask that question because we don't want to be doing some construction work and we get stopped and cold. And then the Army Corps of Engineers, the other group, to let them know what we plan to do.
Okay. Exploring green, what does this mean? It means that there's still some things we want to look at in terms of solar, in terms of potential wind, in terms of potential recycled water. None of those are off the table. There's some things that we've looked into that we still need to bring back to committees. They just haven't been as hot as some of the other items we brought before committee. But those are not off our table to exploring this. I will tell you, we did take a look at charging stations to put out here. And we looked into that heavily, and we were hoping to bring back a favorable report to the board, but it was not to be. Can you remember why we didn't think it was
worth it? Take too many parking stalls.
Take too many parking stalls, and there was actually, we would absorb a lot of cost for filling up electric on other people's cars, so we thought, hey, there's nothing in it for us. Rate studies. We need to explore the idea and have staff look at and report back whether we should advance our next rate study up a year. The reason why is denitrification was not part of the other rate study. I think a lot that will drive that determination will be what we decide to do with denitrification.